ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Well, there's a verse in Brother Smith, and I think it's verse 36. Yad bhava bhava tadiyo manujasta kaiva samprapya rupa mahima sanayana pusha soktarya meva nigama pratitaistu bhanti gomindamani purusham tamaham vajami. Yeah, this is verse 36. Which is explaining about Lord Krishna and his transcendental form, and Srimati Radharani, who is Sampragya Rupa Mahimasana Yana Purusha, who is a form not different from this form. And she embodies all the different skills and arts and the purport Srila Bhaktisiddhanta explains that the pleasure potency has 64 divisions. Those 64 divisions, they are 64 different arts which please Krishna. Pleasure potency means that potency that gives pleasure to Krishna. So what gives pleasure to Krishna? Not just, you know, just some feeling comes over him and feels pleasure. But there are specific things which cause him pleasure, which arouse that pleasurable sensation in him. So they are these 64 arts, such as being very expert in playing musical instruments, being very expert in talking poetically, being very expert in painting pictures, being very expert in dressing, being very expert in decorating ornaments, being very expert, of course, in cooking, and that includes, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, the art of making salads. Just bear that in mind for a second. Normally Indian cooking culture is not known so much for salads. But Srimati Radharani is expert in making salads and soups, which in Sanskrit is called supa. that's where the word suttas come from. It's been derived from Sanskrit, from the Buddhist word, suttasutta. Then being very expert in all sorts of things, in arranging for different animals to fight. And being very expert in hair dressing, that type of thing. Very amazing. So many expertises, 64 expertises that Radharani has. And they are the 64 aspects of the pleasure potency, because they're all the different things that give Krishna pleasure in Radharani. So in that way, Radharani is the embodiment or the manifest form of the pleasure potency, because this is all she does, these 64 different things. That's all she does. And it just gives Krishna so much pleasure. She's expert at talking with Krishna and delighting him by what she says in different ways. Amazing. And there in the purport, I was hoping we could read it, but anyway, there's Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gives the longest purport in the whole book. It's about 12 or 13 pages. Lengthy discussion about Srimati Radharani and Krishna and their pastimes and how different aspects of the pastimes. And particularly, a particular feature of the pastimes which is very important in Vrindavan. It's called Prema Vaichitya. Prema Vaichitya means joy, ecstasy, through seeming error. Joy through seeming error. This is the highest aspect of the joy which is there in the length of Radhana. And there are many manifestations of that, or many different types of arrangements which give rise to that, many different seeming errors. Krishna is nobody's son. So this is an error. But if it wasn't for that error, then the ecstasy of those pastimes would not be there. So Madhyashoda thinks Krishna is her son. Krishna thinks that he is her son. So through the seeming error, ecstasy comes. Or that it appears that the gopis are married. It is like that. And that Krishna is becoming with them. And so the fact that they are married, they're currently married, is an error. So, actually they're not married. Maybe Krishna is becoming a consort. And eternal personal expression will teach you to say that. But this error that they are apparently married increases your ecstasy. Otherwise, it will clearly make you know that they all belong to Krishna. And it's just the making of your truth. In fact, they have no choice but to associate with Krishna. Like our finger has no choice. It has no choice. It has no choice. It has no choice. So it can appear that they have no choice to stand in them. Because this eternal question of assessment would be so exciting. So, with Lord, there's there's a certain formality in the relationship. And that same ecstasy is not there. Because it's like they have no choice. There is one, not the best thing. They can't say, they can't say no, I'm not going to do anything. They're not under any pressure. That one child, your husband, is best around the corner. There's no pressure like that. It's all formalized. So in order to create some excitement there, Krishna has to sometimes use some very kind of radical and important things that tell the woman that she's not good enough to be her husband. And she is from a high, high-class, Kshatriya family. And Krishna says that the people, nobody knows what I am. First of all, I was born as a Vaishya. But then I went to Mathura, and I became a Kshatriya. I killed the Vaishya, I killed Kamsa, and I became a king. Then I ended up on that level of Mathura, and I started teaching philosophy. So some people thought I was a driver. But I was driving the chariot, which is so funny. And some people were thinking, were wondering, is he a sutra, actually? A truck driver, a chariot driver. Is he a sutra? And Krishna said, nobody knows where I put it. And you're very haka. And there is such a Kshatriya background, one of the great ministries. So I'm not good enough for you. You must meet me in Kshatriya. And this is just, in fact, to help me out, I'll just do it again. Yes, so Krishna is just criticizing himself and glorifying him. And of course, what's meaning? Any, you could say, complacency that she might have had, that he's my husband, not for me to do. But, you know, very friendly and great of him. So what can we do? I've got him. As they say, this will raise me to my husband. Or Queen for a day, slow for a moment. So something like that, you know, that feeling of it's all established, it's all formalized, no one can change it, it's just the way it is, it's just accepted. So Krishna turned it all around and was human. Suddenly realize that Krishna is independent. And I haven't just got him. That is not just like a permanent fixture in the house for me to call on whenever I want to have him. Not at all. Not at all. You know, I'm so fortunate. It's just unimaginable. It's incredible. What is going to happen now? So what do you mean? You've been so transcendental conscious that she just kind of built up and just started going around in circles in her head, and it just got too much. She's fainted. It's described just like a banana pan which is uprooted by a strong wind. It just goes bang. It doesn't kind of crumple. Straight over. So she just went straight over. And we're pushing her down. Thank you. I'm over there. So, but in Vrindavan, that kind of formality is not there. So, there are these apparent, and why it's not there, there's this, you know, this sort of excitement of the unknown. The excitement of the unpredictable. And the lack of status quo. It's like a solid or stormy status quo. Anything that happens, no one can do it. This is what I think about that. Behind the scenes, all the masses are very determined, arranging the pathway. But on a certain level, on a certain level, it appears that anything can happen. So, with all the devotees, it appears they have hope. They have hope for the future. Of course, we would like to surmount that, explain that they don't actually have hope. Just they think they have hope. Similarly, Mother Yashoda, it's not that actually Krishna took birth from her as an all-American, and there was an actual phenomenon of childhood, which, you know, is the concrete proof of mother-child relationship. So, in the case of Krishna and Mother Yashoda, there was no birth. But there's just this idea. If anyone comes and asks Mother Yashoda, is Krishna worthy or she is son of Krishna? But there was never any birth that she is for her. And if she didn't, what if there was no birth? But she knew what she was. There would be no peace. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta explains that it appears there are husbands that there are no husbands. Some mysterious lady comes down his bag and is not devoted to that. And says, watch out! Your husband is just around the corner. And oh! But because of the idea, there's so much excitement, there's no opportunity. And therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, that there actually there are no husbands, but what there are meaning demons. Like there are no demons. And that there's no people before. But there are rumors in people. This is all part of favor by Chitya. Joy. Joyful pastime. Through the medium of seeing going. So that's here. There's this album.
Krishna said, I know that they have a good idea.
wasn't invited. What sort of wedding is that? I can't understand it. Almost as if, oh yes, yes, the wedding. Abby Mummy just got married. And Krishna took the laddu, big laddu, lifted it to his mouth, just about to take a bite. And he asked, who did Abhimanyu marry then? And Bhonavasu said, oh, Radharani. Krishna took one bite and spat it out. Oh! Are you trying to poison me? This is the worst laddu I've ever tasted. So, they got married. However, Abhimanyu is not, he's not just some like super rebellious soul. Just imagine, we're all conditioned souls. We're trying to take Krishna's position, right? And at least from the male side, take Krishna's position, get our own Radharani. And from the female side, take Radharani's position, get our own Krishna. And that's how it works. Something like that. So it's not like Abhimanyu is some super conditioned soul who actually is trying to take away Radharani, literally. But he's a special incarnation of Krishna. He's an incarnation of Krishna's shadow. So he looks like Krishna. And you know the story? How Krishna, yeah, I'm sure you've heard the story, how Krishna was, he would try and climb into Ravana. You know, just when it was getting dark, no one could see it hopefully. Sneak in and meet Srimati Radharani, and one night he climbed over. Was climbing over, and Jatila, of course she's half blind, but still, she sort of spotted something in the tree, and she couldn't make out what it was, but she thought it might be Krishna. Actually, Jatila, you know this name, Jatila, it means crooked. Unreliable and deceitful, deceptive. Jatila saw, she's half blind, but she saw something like that. It's probably Krishna. She called out, who's there? And no one could hear it coming. Cuckoo. And she said, that doesn't sound like a cuckoo. And Krishna just went, cuckoo. And she went away, and Krishna didn't know what to do. I can't come down, I've got to, better go back. So he started struggling up through the tree, but he was making a noise, and Jatila came out and said, who's that there? Cuckoo. And Krishna had to spend the whole night there. So, joyous pastimes through error, seeming error. Like strange things happen. One time, well, Rupa Goswami described this very nice, how Shankarachuda came to kidnap Srimati Radharani. And, well, first of all, Radha and Krishna, or Krishna and Madhu Mangal were there. That Surya couldn't. And they were dressed up as Brahmins. And Jatila came with Radharani to perform worship of the sun. Actually, Radharani has very intimate connection with the sun god. She appears in this world through the sun god. So she's connected with the sun planet. So she worships the sun. Anyway, they came and they were wondering, now, where are we going to find some Brahmins? And they're looking around for some Brahmins. And who should be there but Krishna and Madhu Mangal, dressed as Brahmins? And they came, and Krishna, in a very sort of flamboyant, flashy way, said, we will do your puja for you. And Jatila looked at him. Are you a Brahmin or what are you? So then Krishna started chanting the mantras, and they were all, what would you say, like extremely cleverly conceived verses with double meanings, like, here I go worshipping the sun god for your benefit and your family, and something like that. I don't have them here, but something like that. But another meaning is that, you know, you're my eternal beloved consort. We are meeting here, and somehow we have to get away. Or something like that. And Jatila, she was thinking, she was kind of catching a bit of both meanings. And she does this sun worship, like, I don't know if it's every day, but very often. And she said to Madhu Mangal, who was standing there like the assistant Brahmin, she said, you know, I never heard these mantras before. And we've done this so many times. They never chant these mantras. And Madhu Mangal said, what do you know about mantras? You're just a cowherd woman. All you know are the village songs. What do you know about our Vedic Sanskrit mantras? And Jatila said, oh, sorry. Excuse me. And then they succeeded, they finished. And Madhu Mangal said, yes, we have completed first class. Baka, Surya Puja, oh, absolutely sublime and perfect. We need our Dakshin. That is his business. Give blessings, collect Dakshin. But he doesn't collect money, he collects food. So, Jatila said, well, how much do you want? He said, don't accept money. We do think we are. We don't touch it. We will only accept food. Really. Explains the feast he wants. It's one of these mega feasts. And Jatila is just sort of bewildered. You mean I have to prepare a feast like that? And Madhu Mangal says, yes, of course. Yes, it is worse. I'm just letting you off light. So Krishna said, all right, you take my hungry friend, and I will look after your drinking water. I am very upright Brahman. You can trust me. So off goes Jatila with Madhu Mangal. And there's Krishna, there's Srimati Radhanam. Everything looks very good. But then, they didn't know, transcendentally didn't know, that Shankarchuda was moving around in the bushes nearby, just waiting for the opportunity to kill that Brahmin. Yeah, because you know what happened? Actually, it's all a bit of a long story, but Keshi and Aristasura came. They disguised themselves and phone and just fitted in quietly into the background, which must have been difficult because both of them were so big that they touched the clouds, and somehow they disguised themselves to just check out what was going on in Vrindavan. Because Kamsa gradually was getting the idea that Krishna, who had been trying to find to kill for years, maybe he's in Vrindavan. Because so many demons went, and they never came back. So it's in Keshanushta to investigate. And they saw Radharani, and they went back and told